Before we begin the practices and the readings, I would ask that you call upon all those that, whether embodied or who have gone before us, that inspires you, that illuminates your path, that enlightens your soul. It could be from the great prophets, the great philosophers. But we'll invoke their presence here to guide us for these few hours together, that we may feel inspired, illumined, and enlightened by their presence, that our hearts will be open, our minds will be relaxed and at ease, as will our bodies. So take a moment to call to mind those who you wish to feel their presence here. And with palms pressed together at heart, those of us that know the invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan, we will say it together, and others may just rest on the in the silence and do your inward invocation. Toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. So just a few words about that prayer. It might have called to mind questions, but toward the One, meaning there is one source and there is one goal from which all things have come and from which all things will return and to which all things will return. It's trying to express the unity of things. Toward the One, the perfection of love. What greater thing is there than love? Yeah? We know that. We feel that in our heart. And out of love, we feel a connection to another person or to people or to nature. Are you having problems with something over there, John? Is the sound distracting to you, the water fountain?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I just have some ear pain.
Okay. Is there something we can do for you? Warm cloth or anything? Yeah. You okay? Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe through the practice you'll see that maybe some of that will be released. Mm-hmm. So out of love, we have the desire to harmonize. You know, when we fall in love with someone, that's what we want to do. Or when we have a great affection for a friend, we wish to harmonize with them. And then out of harmony, what comes? Great beauty. So toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty that really rises above the personal to the universal, sort of what that's invoking. Toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, that we recognize that we're unified in some way, that there's an interconnectedness, that we're part of one great being, and that within each one is the light of that great being. Every tradition talks about that. You know, some people call it Atman, some people call it the cross within, some people call it the Buddha within. It doesn't matter what tradition you're from. This is a premise of all religious backgrounds, that we have it within. United with all the illuminated souls, meaning all those that have walked upon the earth, that have come to illuminate the path. And we are also part of that, because in our own way we offer illumination to our children, our friends, our family, our loved ones. We all have that spark of illumination. Who form the embodiment of the Master. Again, this is not saying one Master, this is the all-masterful. All the beings that are formed into one Master, could be called a mistress too, I don't know, masteress, you know. Both masculine and feminine should be considered. The spirit of guidance. Meaning that, again, through the divine ray, this spirit of guidance comes from above, touch and illuminates people's hearts, souls, minds. That's the meaning of the prayer. I wanted you to understand this, because I remember myself, first time I heard, who forms the embodiment of the Master. It's like, okay, now what Master am I praying to? You know, what does that mean? Do you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to clarify that, because I thought myself the first time had an odd feeling, like, what are they saying? You know, is this some hoogee-woogee cult thing? Do I want to get out of here as quickly as I can? So now here we are 20 years later having a class on a snowy day with a house full of people. So, you are not probably as simple-minded as I am. Maybe you didn't need an explanation, but I thought I should share it anyway. So, because I wasn't sure, in fact, some of our regular people are not here, so I was hesitant to proceed with this body of teachings that we've been working with. We've been working with a body of teachings on the breath. And we've been taking one short paper per month. However, I would like to continue in respect to the breath practice. And because I feel that it is the first, you know, when we come into the world, it's the first thing that shows a sign of life. They wait for that first breath, that first cry. And when we leave this earth, it's the last thing that they observe leaving us. So from beginning to end, the thing that is our constant, that is forever with us, is the breath. And when you hear in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, but the Word can't exist without breath. So I really think it's in the beginning there was breath. So, for me, this has always been the emphasis, is just the observation of the breath is a really good indication of one's own inner state, and also the state of others. And it is through the breath that we can communicate so much. So, for example, if I just breathe like this, how did that make you feel? Did you feel anything or observe anything?
A little calmer. Dropping the vibration in the core a little
more. Anyone else feel that? Something like that?
I do.
Okay. But if I do this... I did that one day in a class and the student said, oh God, and I was behind him. He's like, I can hear your frustration. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's so much that's conveyed through the breath. Is that your... Oh, that's no problem. You know what? We're just going to hang out here. I'm sure it's going to be in a really quick flash that that'll be done.
Here, I got a new...
All these chivalrous men. Now the rest of them get out and run out there. And Leo's ready to go. He's like, can I help?
Did you do something from choose?
No, not at all. Maybe someone else put them on. He must have. Are there over there? Over there, Patty G?
They don't look like
ladies' boots.
Oh, Joe. Joe, they're in here, sweetie. Were they your brown boots?
Yeah, I guess so. Sorry, I thought I looked nothing.
I bet you that AAA man can handle this on his own.
Yeah,
oh, he's ready. It's going to be popped, and she's going to be in here before Joe gets his shoes on. So I'll just give a little background. Well, maybe I'll wait for Lisa. Any questions about anything I've said thus far? Or do we agree? Yes.
I don't know.
Leo.
Yes.
Neil.
Okay. You at the very end of the prayer, then, what you said, if you just left out the master, it would be completed. That's rather interesting.
Yeah.
The spirit of guidance, and that's the essential nature.
It is. And it is so beautiful because some of you, I don't think, have observed a service called the Universal Worship Service, but it would be nice to explain that to you. Have you seen it, Neil?
Last week.
Okay.
We had the 4202 Holly.
Yeah, it might have been a bit of an informal service. The formal service is quite exquisite. There's an altar. That's what really brought me to this path. I was sort of suspicious, like looking out of the corner of my eye every time I go to some event. But when I saw this take place at a retreat, I thought, this is it. This is what I've been searching for. And it's one of the exoteric or outside activities of this particular branch of universal Sufism. It's meant for the public. Some of these other things are meant for more esoteric study. But at this, there is an altar that is set. And on the altar, there are six candles. And each candle represents a different world religion. The religions are set up on the left side of the altar, if we're facing it, the religions of the East. On the right side of the altar, they're the religions of the West. So on the left side of the altar, it begins with Hinduism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, which is from Persia, Path of Purity. And on the right, you'll see the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. And typically what is done, and then there's one book that's in the middle that kind of is the unifying book. Then there is a candle, as I said, and there is the holy scripture of those different faiths before the candle. Then there is one tall taper. And above that, ideally, hanging, is this lamp from above, representing what we might call the divine. Then, from that is lit this other candle, this tall taper. It's called the Spirit of Guidance candle. And from that candle, each other candle on the altar is lit, representing that from God, from the divine, comes the Spirit of Guidance, and it has manifest in all these different prophets, that they have come at different times and different places on the earth to offer illumination. And if you think about it, how extraordinarily beautiful is that? Because they didn't just come to one place. They didn't just come to India. They came to Persia. They came to Arabia. They came to, all over the Eastern and Asian part of the world. Now we can say that also maybe some of that has come to the West further with these teachings of Anai Khan. He brought that message even all the way to America. So then, what has happened as part of this service is there's a theme that is selected. The theme might be truth, or love, or compassion, or service. And then there's a reading from each, after the candles are lit, there's a reading from each of the books. And what one starts to experience is that, it would be really nice for you to go all the way down, baby boy. Yeah. Are you a little crowded there? Here, stay. That's good. Then one starts to see, oh my goodness, I thought these religions were all so different. But that is saying the same as that, as that, as that, as that. And then there's a sermon that's given along the theme. And it, for me, it was the moment, I mean, all I know is when I, first time I saw that, the words came to me, I'm home. Because for me, that had always been what I was searching for. That I, although raised a Catholic and had experience in other religions, I found that I really believed that there was one path. It may manifest in many names and forms. So, are they coming in now? Are there any questions about what I just shared? Can you visualize that? All is well?
Yes, we'll have to go and shut it off in a while. The battery was dead too. So.
Oh, wow.
Okay. About half hour, so we'll get up and shut it off.
Okay.
Did you ask the questions?
Sure, you can ask a question.
My brother is qualified to give universal worship. And I'm just so, I can't, well, I'm sorry, this is not a question.
Well, that's okay. You can make a statement as well.
And he's learned with Kabir Kitt in Arkansas. And so, well, it's just this great joy in my life to have him here, have him back with us. And he attended universal worship with me last week. So it's just a blessing. Such a
that's
blessing.
Wonderful. That's very wonderful. And who's your brother? Have we met him?
You have. He wants to be known as Art, so you won't know him by that name. His Sufi name is Mansur. And you may not have met him, being recent to the community. 20 years, though, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is Mansur, has he been around for a long time, or is he new?
He's been around for a long time. He and I started the Sufi tradition 35 years ago when it was meeting on Troost in a gymnasium.
I know Mansur.
Okay.
And he had some land for a while with a sweat lodge out in it.
And that's the other blessing that came into my life was, of course, Huia teaches in another tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she's so close to me. And, of course, you know, we've been associated for a long time. But now I was called to the Interfaith Council, Kent State Interfaith Council, in the Western Crown Center. And so I sat with her there.
Wonderful.
What a blessing.
Yeah, it is. It's all blessings, really. It's all God. So thank you for sharing. So I think we're just going to need to rest in the breath for a while. I think that we're a little scattered right now. Probably people got a little excited about coming in from the snow, and you can feel the vibrations are a little zigzag. So we'll just sit for a few minutes, and I'll use the bell again. And with concerted effort, we all can sort of cool the energy. Maybe warm the energy, but cool the vibrations down. And if you will, allow the breath to become very vast in its swing. Allow the inhalation to be very full, and the exhalation to also be very full. And there's a beautiful practice given by Hazrat Inayat Khan, who is the person that is my inspiration and the inspiration for many in the room. Now, I mention his name in respect, but I want to make it very clear we are not worshiping Hazrat Inayat Khan, but I'm referencing his name merely because I'm reading from his body of teachings on breath. And as a way of centering and grounding ourselves, I'd like to offer to you a practice that every Sufi initiate does every day. It's a beautiful practice of the breath that's called the purification breaths. Patty and Neil and Lisa, can you all hear me? Lisa, can you? Okay, good. So we begin this practice by just allowing the breath to become full, both on its inhalation and its exhalation. And in fact, I think it might be best for me to read from these words of Hazrat Inayat Khan about this practice. Some of you know that this paper only recently came to us in America, and we feel very privileged to have received it, because it seems as if this practice in this form was lost for some time. And so if you can think of it as being this secret treasure that was locked away in Europe in the archives and just found its way again to America, perhaps you can experience the preciousness of this practice and the magnetism around the practice that has been locked away for so long, hidden from us. So these are the instructions from Hazrat Inayat Khan. This is done before breakfast. Missed that one. Standing in a relaxed position, preferably in the open air, in front of an open window. We're also not going to do that. But the feet are stable on the ground, and the knees, shoulders, neck and jaws are loosened. Now, I think we can also do this sitting. Okay? So we'll do it sitting. But listen to what this says about this practice. Inhalations and exhalations are done rhythmically in a restful, quiet manner, slower than the usual breath, yet slightly fuller. Just let yourself, whatever you are you going through, having a yawn reflex now?
Carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
I got deep into the lungs.
Yeah, you might want to just breathe, and we'll do that before we'll fully expel that, but just let yourself go. That's a really good sign. It's a release of stress. Back to the reading. While inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving and radiating the divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. Would anyone like to hear that phrase again? It's so beautiful. When inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving and radiating the divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. The thought to be kept constantly present in the mind is the following one. While inhaling, we concentrate on these words. I inhale divine light, L-I-G-H-T, and life, L-I-F-E. And while exhaling, we consider these words. I radiate the same. I'll give those instructions again in a moment. Hazrat Inayat Khan goes on to say, if one is ill or feeling weak, this exercise can be done sitting or even lying down. In the case of delicate breathing organs or any other internal problem, or if requiring for the purpose of improving the health, this practice is done twice a day, morning and evening, or even three times a day if necessary. So here he's giving us an indication. He hasn't been very direct, but the fact that he says here of any internal problem is telling us that the breath should become quite full and deliberate. We should take this as an instruction to bring the breath in to massage the internal organs. It's a kind of internal yoga. I mean, science tells us whatever gets the most stimulation gets the most blood. Whatever gets the most blood wins. You know, it's healthy. It's a healthy organ if it's revitalized with the breath, with circulation, with blood. Okay? So the breath will be full both on its inhalation and on its exhalation. Hazrat Inayat Khan further says, the exercise is the basis of many esoteric exercises and should be mastered before you can understand further mysteries. So everything's in the breath. And I think we should do this practice and we should see what we experience, all right? They're called the 20 purification breaths. The breath is typically done when one is doing it alone. Five inhalations and five exhalations is one cycle. One inhalation and one exhalation is one cycle. We do that cycle five times. So in and out, one, in and out, two, in and out, three, in and out, four, in and out, five. Then we go on to another breath. The breaths, you will notice, have different directions. And you're going to be asked to move the breath in different ways. There are reasons for that. The breath will have a horizontal line, a downward line, an upward line, and sort of a circular or zigzag line. It's not so important to concentrate so much on that, but what one should concentrate on, if one can, is this phrase, I inhale divine light and life, and I radiate the same. Do you need a little lozenge? Okay. We have some halls up here if you need it, Patty G. Okay. Also, there's something warm on the stove. If you need something warm to drink, sometimes that helps to relieve it. I just want to draw your attention to something kind of wonderful that's going on here. You know, some people might see that there's a lot of energy sort of moving around or having trouble settling down. From one view, it could be viewed as chaos. From another view, something really wonderful is about to occur and there are forces that are trying to interfere with that. So try to be patient and look at it as a good indication of where the practice is heading. Don't be discouraged. One should also observe that in life. When obstacles seem to be arising, really, the energy is just clearing the path. So sometimes when we're struggling, it's a very good sign. Okay? Do some of you feel like you'd like to do the practice standing? Or would you prefer to sit?
I'd
Sitting, okay. So if you prefer to stand, you can do that, and if not, sitting is also okay. I would suggest that you find a very relaxed position. And ladies, you can kind of let your legs be a little open and natural. Sometimes we do this because we're told to keep our knees together, but truly I don't know that that's the most natural position. So let's begin with some strong exhalation. So take a deep breath in. And we're going to breathe all the way out. We're going to bend over at the waist and even cough to let the breath come all the way out. So breathe out. All the way out. And then breathe in. And take a few sips at the top of the breath. Expand the upper lungs and breathe out. Bending slightly at the waist. All the way out and breathe in. And breathe out. Okay, just breathe in again. I might suggest, Joe sometimes observes me doing this in the morning, especially when I'm very tired. I do this so deliberately, but honestly, if everyone could remember to do that in the morning, it's very good for the health. The point being is that when we're sedentary, and we are so much of our lives, really, even in our workaday lives, sometimes we're not so active, noxic gases build up in the lungs. So although this is mysticism, this is also practicality. This has come from the ancient yogic tradition and through the Patanjali Sutras and the Rig Veda. All these teachings are ancient wisdom, but animals know this. First thing Leo does when he gets up in the morning is he does downward dog, if you know yoga, mm-hmm. And he even poops out a little, few little farts out his butt. You know, he exhausts all the air from his system. And he does it not only on the ground. He has his back legs up on the bed, and he goes all the way to the ground. He does a full stretch, and then he gets all the air out of his system. It's very healthy to get all the air out, and he's stretching, and he's breathing. You know, he's such a great teacher for me. But that is how the yogis learn some of these postures. And so doing this kind of breath to eliminate everything from the lungs is very healthy. So now we will we'll begin the first breath, and the prescribed way is with eyes closed. If you're comfortable, if not, you can just cast the glance downward. But the eyes are closed and the body is relaxed. And of course you heard the instructions of standing, but we're sitting for the most part. And we begin the breath in the nose and out the nose, and we concentrate on the phrase inhaling. I inhale divine light and life. And when we exhale, we concentrate on the phrase I radiate the same. And the breath is in the nose and out the nose. I inhale divine light and life. And I radiate the same, breathing out. And we recall that the breath should be quite full and deliberate. Become very involved with the practice. As you breathe in, imagine that every cell is drinking in this divine light and life. And again, when you breathe out, radiate from every cell of your being this radiating the same, radiating divine light and life. Absorbing it on the inhalation and on the exhalation, releasing and offering it back again. From the very center core of your being, all levels, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, let the whole being breathe this breath. We allow the breath to transform. And this breath is in through the nose and out gently through the mouth. We breathe in through the nose and out gently through the mouth. Now, some of these breaths may not be natural to you. Well, why would it be? These are yogic breaths. We don't go around doing these breaths of the normal course of the day. But there are practices that have a specific purpose. Just observe as you do the breath, concentrating again, breathing in through the nose. I inhale divine light and life, and exhaling through the mouth, I radiate the same. And I'd like to offer the suggestion to refine the breath. While the breath is very deliberate and full, the breath perhaps is not audible. It becomes a refined breath, a kind of internalized breath. So sort of monitor that and see how that changes the consciousness when the breath becomes full and deliberate yet refined. And the breath changes again now, and we breathe in the mouth and out the nose. In the mouth and out the nose. Again, concentrating on the phrase, I inhale divine light and life, and breathing out. I radiate the same. And the last breath of this practice is in the mouth and out the mouth. Breathing in through the mouth, concentrating, I inhale divine light and life, and exhale through the mouth, I radiate the same. As if we're sipping in this divine radiance and life through the mouth, allowing it to enter through that apparatus, tasting the flavor of that, and offering it back again. And now just rest for a few moments in a natural state, in your natural breath, and just observe. Observe any sensations that are in the body. You may want to check into your emotional body, the mental body, the spiritual body. Sort of be aware, but grasping after nothing, just allowing, resting in awareness.